Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and welcome to the program this evening. It is our live version of Real Ghost Stories Online, where you can call in live and share your real ghost stories with us. I'd absolutely love to hear it. Phone lines are open as we begin the program. The live call-in number, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 is the number to call and share your real ghost stories with us this evening. And as I always ask, and I'll probably be a little bit repetitive about this at the beginning of the program this evening, is, hey, as you're joining us, please press share. It lets other people know that we're doing this thing live tonight who like our show already, so they can join in on the fun. Lines, like I said, are open right now at 216-446-7810. That is a live number that is only active Tuesday nights at about 8 p.m. Central till about 9 p.m. Central, as this version of the program is created. Otherwise, if you're listening on the podcast to this episode, you're going to want to dial in on the other 855 number. But live tonight, 216-446-7810. You got me tonight. Jenny has some other obligations here. So we'll be doing the show live, just you and me. Hello to everybody who's joined us tonight. Dustin, I'm sorry, Sarah, Nicolette, Andreas, Corey, Curtis, Bruna, thank you all so much for joining us this evening on the program. Greatly appreciate it. And I see already have one call coming in from, looks like, area code 928. So let's not make anyone wait, and let's go to you. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hi, caller at 928.
My name is Corrine, and I'm in Las Vegas.
Hey, Corrine, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. How is it in Las Vegas this evening?
Pretty nice, not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad at all. let me ask you here, as we're getting, is, you know, the end of the school year, kids getting out of school. Do things pick up in Vegas? I mean, I get like college type kids, but you know, lots, you know, the school age children, obviously they're not flocking to Las Vegas. What is one of the busier times for Vegas?
Actually right now is the EDC.
It's the what?
So that's like a Woodstock kind of a thing. EDC concert.
Okay.
So people come from all over to do their, illegal substances and stuff.
I see.
Spring break in March is pretty busy too.
Okay. Illegal substances.
Getting a little too hot for everybody else.
Illegal substances and gambling. What could possibly go wrong? Let me ask you. You got a ghost story for us tonight?
I do. I have my daughter's here also. She's 16 because she's the one that this happened with, but she doesn't remember anything, and it bums me out because I wish she did.
Okay.
There's a couple things with her. So when she was a baby, we lived in Texas, and I had this Lazy Boy rocker recliner in her nursery. And whenever I would rock her to sleep in it, I would feel like hot breath on my forehead, like somebody was breathing on me. And it didn't happen every time, but when it did, it creeped me the hell out. And I never saw anything. But to this day, I call it the grandpa ghost because I can picture a grandpa. I can picture everything about how this man looked, but I never saw anything. And I always figured he was right behind the chair in the corner, and he would just stand there and watch over my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always creeped out, but I would leave her in there because I felt like he was protecting her. Even though he scared me. And so I kind of kept it to myself because I was new to that town. I didn't know very many people. And one time we finally had a party, and this is like 2 years later, we have a party and this little boy that's my daughter's age, they're both 2 years old. He goes in her room, they're playing. We're all out in the living room. You know, the grownups were drinking and talking and having a great time. And this little boy comes flying out of her bedroom, screaming, crying, like tears, boogers, running, everything, the whole thing. And his mom's like, what happened? And so he puts his little hands up in the air like claws, and he's like, rawr. And they're like, what? And he does it again. And she said, monster? And he's like, yeah. So she says, so show me where. And so he runs back into my daughter's room and he points to that corner behind the chair. And I'm like, oh my God, like there's no way. So I tell his mom the story that I always felt somebody breathing on me. And she was like, turns out she believes in ghosts and the whole thing. So she didn't think I was nuts. But I wonder if he was, maybe that little boy, he was a little rough. I wonder if he was picking on my daughter. Mm-hmm. And the grandpa ghost showed himself to him to be like, knock it off. Like, that's my kid that I take care of. Because I don't know why else that little boy would have seen anything. And,
yeah.
And honestly, I never thought about why he would have been there until I started listening to your podcast.
Sure.
I was like, oh, he was probably just like, you little bastard, knock, leave her alone.
I know, right?
I mean, I don't know, but that that poor little boy was terrified.
Well, I think sometimes they can intervene in good ways, even though it is kind of a bad way at the same time.
Yeah, it was a little scary. And my daughter's actually kind of mad at me that I didn't ask that ghost to come with us. But I never listened to ghosts or anything until you guys came along. And I was like, I didn't know you could talk to a ghost. I had no idea. I mm-hmm. would have been like, hey, Grandpa, let's go. Like,
yeah,
your protector, come with us. I like that. Poor guy, we left him behind, and he's probably wondering what the heck happened to the little girl he protected.
Although maybe maybe that can be exciting though for them sometimes too, because it's kind of an ongoing thing. There'll be new people there that he can work with and help, and just kind of adopts whoever shows up into that setting.
Yeah, hope so. But I kind of been selfish and wish that we would brought them with us.
Sure, bottle them up.
So. The next thing that happened with my daughter was when she was about 3 years old, we moved to Arizona. We're in a new house. It's only 4 months old. And this child never, and maybe it was the grandpa ghost, never cried, slept through the night from 6 weeks on, just was the best child. Best, she still is. Best baby. Oh my God, not a problem. So she's 3 years old. We're sleeping. And in the middle of the night, I feel her nudge my arm in my bed. And she's like, mommy, come here. And I said, Hennessy, go to bed. I didn't even open my eyes because I'm a horrible, terrible mother. And she nudges my arm again and she goes, mommy, come here. And I said, Hennessy, go to bed. And then she like pushes me, mommy, come here. And as soon as she said here, I look up and nobody's there. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So I hit my husband and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, we need to go check on her. Something's telling me there's something wrong. We run down the hallway, we open her door, and the second you open the door, you can like feel heat from her room. And that kid, who not even a sniffle before we put her to bed, was blazing hot with like 104 something fever, couldn't breathe. We're like waking her up, freaking out. We've never had a fever that high. And my husband's like, how did you know? And I said, I'm telling you, the kid was standing right there, but there was no way. When we got to her room, she was passed out in her bed. That kid was not just touching my arm and telling me to wake up and to come here.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. I don't know. I hear you guys talk about astro projecting, but I'm not really sure that I understand what that is. I don't know if it's mother's intuition, but nothing was wrong with her when we put her to bed, nothing. And I could just, she was like calling me, come here. And I was like, no, you ghost demon child. Like, I don't
want to
go.
You know,
it turned out something was wrong with her.
Yeah, it might just be a connection thing that you know, neither of you really understand. You know, sometimes I can imagine when I was a kid, and sometimes you're almost if you're kind of in one of those. You know, almost asleep, almost not states, especially when you're sick, where it's kind of difficult to fall asleep. Even as an adult, that's the time where I'm almost kind of in and out. And sometimes I'm semi-dreaming that I'm in my bed and like reality is taking place. And then I snap back to it and I'm just there and nothing has happened yet. But I wonder if that kind of plays into almost, I don't know, astral projection is the right word, but some sort of a connection with you where she was able to get that message to you, telepathically. I don't want to sound too spooky with it because it's not really, I think, what it is. I think it's more of a natural thing that we just don't quite understand.
Yeah, that one just still gives me the chill because I'm like, I could feel her touching me. She was in my ear. And then when we saw her, I was like, that she was just not in my room. There's no way.
Yeah.
So yeah. the last thing that happened with her is when she was 6 years old. This one's kind of hard to explain because I've never met anybody that's ever felt this way before. But my whole entire life, I remember this happening. And it's happened with everybody, friends, family, everybody. And I don't know what triggers it, but every now and again for like 10, 15 seconds, I will feel like I am not myself and whoever I'm with is not them. Mm-hmm. And their face will kind of morph a little bit and it still looks like them. It just kind of looks like an evil version. And obviously it's in my mind because nobody else can see it. But I just kind of always keep it in because I don't, how do you explain? I told my daughter, I'm not going to be like, what the hell is going on with your face? Because those people obviously don't know that anything's going on with their face in my mind. So I've never talked about it, even to my husband, because first he's a huge skeptic. He thinks mm-hmm. we're all nuts. So we make fun of him. But I just think like, it's always freaked me out. So one night, Hennessy was 6 years old. I read her bedtime story. I went to check her closet for monsters and I go to close her closet door and that feeling came over me and I thought, well, shit, because I always have to hold it in, you know, and kind of smile and act like nothing's going on. And as I'm feeling like I'm not myself, I kind of don't want to even look at her because I know she's going to look like that evil version of herself.
Yeah.
So I turn around and she goes, I turn around to say goodnight and she literally says, her head pops off her pillow and she goes, Mommy, is that you? And I said, yeah, why? And she said, that didn't look like you for a second. And she put her head back down and I was like, well, night, turned off the light, closed the door.
Yeah.
And I was like, how in the hell did she know that? Because I always think I hold it in.
Yeah.
Nobody, and I'm telling you, it's happened to me with everybody in my life. Nobody else has ever been like, hey, you don't look like yourself for a second.
Yeah.
So then I thought, did she get that feeling too? Does my face do something? Do I also look like an evil version?
Well, I'm wondering if whatever is overcoming you is also overcoming her at the same time, and it's kind of an empathetic type thing where you both are feeling this shared emotion, and that's, you know, she's just as confused as to what's going on as you are, and maybe that might be what is going on. I'm not sure. I want to open that one up to everybody who's watching right now in the comment section. I'd be really curious. What do you guys think? What's their insight onto that? Be interesting to hear some different opinions and different thoughts on that. I'm going to let you go because I got a whole bunch of calls lined up here, but thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Okay.
Have a great night. The phone number, thank you, 216-446-7810. If you're on hold, stay on the line. We will get to you. There's a caller at 604 and 215. Hang on. You two are next in line. 215 will be next, 604 after that. First, we're going to call at 718 to go to. And what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Jamie, and I'm from New York City.
Jamie, welcome to the program. And let me just ask everyone before we jump into your story, if you're watching us right now, please do press the share button. That helps us get other folks to tune in tonight and be aware that we're actually on the air. It tells Facebook that that's what's going down. So please do press share. Jamie, let's hear your story.
Roughly lately, I've been feeling like I may have some minor sensitivity.
Okay.
Because over the last, I'm going to say 15 years or so, I've had experiences, but I never really thought much of them until recently. In the last several years, they've gotten more and more frequent.
Okay.
I've been getting more and more feelings of being watched or feeling like someone else is, say, in a room or in someone else's home when I know I'm alone.
Okay.
And, like, when I was 13, I was unknowingly with a tour group in an area that at the time I didn't know was haunted. I later found out it was haunted and felt like somebody was standing behind me and then felt a definite tap on my shoulder and no one was there.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, I'm alone in the gym in my building complex and felt being watched. No one else was in the gym, but I still felt being watched, and then the treadmill shut off on its own. At that point, I ran.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you're having that feeling, and now you're starting to get some validation to that feeling with the odd occurrences going on around you. And you know, and that's the thing. It's got to be difficult sometimes because even without paranormal, odd things happen, you know, that are not necessarily paranormally related. But if you're sensitive, you know, and you're somewhat empathic, you're going to feel that no matter where you're at to some degree, some areas stronger than others. But then when you connect those dots and some things really are unexplained and you really have kind of ruled some of that stuff out. Yeah. I mean, I'm not doubting, you know, I'm wondering if some of these things are trying to almost test you, if they can tell like that your light is stronger and they're like, this one's got it right there. I'm going to start the treadmill or whatever, you know, and that's kind of just them letting you know that they're there. And I want, you know, if I was on that side, I'd be getting some kicks out of, you know, having that feeling like there's a connection there, especially if you're not really making that many connections with the living, because the empathic, you know, it's few, I don't want to say few and far between, but, you know, I don't know, to the level you're at, maybe, I don't know, 1 in 20, 1 in 50. I don't know what that might actually be. It might even be less than that. But, you know, I think sometimes, you know, just as humans, we have a desire to make a connection with other humans. And that can be extremely difficult, you know, for folks like me who are kind of anxious and such, and socially awkward, other than when I'm in front of the microphone and have a camera on me. But just like by myself, I'm not like that. I can only imagine what it's like on the other side where it's that much more difficult when the living are not just right next to you.
Well, a few years ago, my uncle had passed away, and this is actually my best story that I have, actually best experience that really solidified, okay, I may have something to me that I didn't know about before.
Okay.
My uncle passed away suddenly while he was recovering in a nursing home from surgery. And I had to go every day and take care of his cats that were still living in the home and start cleaning out his place, you know, so the owners could put it up for lease and fix it up.
Sure.
Well, one day, middle of the day, I go in, I walk into his apartment, I turn to my left to turn on the dining room light, and I look to go walk into the apartment, and he's sitting right at a dining room table, as solid as you or I. He had his back towards me, he was sitting at his dining room table, I could see he was wearing the shirt that I had last seen him in. I know exactly what shirt it is, too. He was looking out the kitchen window. I blinked and reached for my phone, thinking maybe I could get a picture or something, and he was gone. And after that, I had various feelings, even when I was alone in the apartment, of, like, being watched, like he was still there.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I did some research on, you know, sensitivity, and I found out it could be inherited. I talked to my dad, and he said, not only has he seen, like, shadows and had experiences, but when he was, I'm going to say about the age I am now, about 30, he got hit by a car. And you know, New York City streets are fairly wide.
Yeah.
He got hit by the car head on, and he ended up completely on the other side of this wide street. In his opinion, there's no way. He used to be a medic in the Army before this. He, to this day, does not know not only how he survived, but how he had only some injuries to his face and was able to get up and walk home 3 blocks. He thinks he should have been killed, if not killed, way more hurt than he was. And he's thinking, and I brought up maybe, you know, was there somebody watching over you? Is there someone watching over, like, us in general?
Sure.
Or something?
I would say, you know, likely. And another thing to think about there, too, with, you know, having essentially a near-death experience where he feels like he should have been dead. A very, very often when that happens, folks then end up if they aren't already sensitive, or, you know, it amps it up, and suddenly someone who's maybe not super empathic on, you know, a paranormal type sense suddenly is, to a degree. But if you already have that ability and you already, you know, genetically or inherently have the, that empath type thing going on with you, and you have an experience like that, and let's say it's at an 8, and 10 is the max. After an experience like that, you're probably at 12. So it can, I think, certainly amp it up even more. And then, yeah, I completely believe that it's genetic. And you see that very often. Even just a call that we had just before you, where it was a mother and a daughter, very similar.
I was listening to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I completely believe that a lot of this is very genetic. I'm going to let you go. We got some calls here on the hold, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. Thank you. Please do call in again some night. Caller at 604, you're up next. First, got a caller at 215 that's been holding for about 17 minutes. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's me again, Robert, from Warrington, PA.
Hey, Robert, what's going on? What sort of story you got for us tonight?
I actually wanted to ask if either you or Jenny have heard about, which I'll tell you, about the elevator game, it's called.
The elevator game? No, I don't believe I've heard of that.
Yeah. Some people call it the elevator to a different dimension. It has a lot of different names.
Okay.
But I actually found out about it by accident, going on YouTube, and I found a story. I'll just give you a brief description. It's about a 20-year-old Canadian student named Elisa Lane, I believe her name was. Anyway, she traveled in January 2013 to California, and she went to downtown L.A. and checked into the Cecil Hotel around February of that year. And that's actually when she actually was found.
Okay.
Missing, you know, dead.
Yeah.
In one of the water towers above the hotel. So one of the theories is, you know, she was playing the elevator game, but because they look at the footage and so forth. But the game itself is really eerie, so I wanted to give you, I guess, a description of it, because I wanted to know if you maybe have heard.
I guess a description of it with a disclaimer of don't play this at home and don't play this in an elevator.
Yes.
Okay.
Do not play it, but
do not attempt.
You often find a lot of people. Basically, you know, you have to find any building with at least 10 floors and a hotel and an elevator.
Okay.
So you get in on the first floor, and one by one, you have to go to the fourth floor. After it goes there, you go to the second, then sixth, then second floor again. Then you go to the 10th floor. You never get out. And they say on the fifth floor, a woman gets one that tries to talk to you. You shouldn't talk to her. And at that point, you hit the first floor button. But if it's true, it'll take you to the 10th floor, where if you get out, that's where, supposedly, you're at another dimension, where everything is, like, blackish. Some people say they see a dark cross in the distance. And then some people say, which it always contradicts itself. That's why I was curious if you heard of it.
No.
Then some people say you might pass out and wake up in your house, which is not your house at all. But I'm thinking, if you pass out, then you wouldn't be able to walk around and, you know.
Yeah.
Observe anything.
It almost sounds like something out of, no, I've not heard of it, but it almost kind of sounds like something out of, like, Stranger Things, you know, if you will, where, like, what is going on, or Silent Hill or something of that nature. But that is a creepy story.
It's
I doubt it will actually work or happen, but yeah.
It's supposed to be like an urban legend
from
Japan.
Okay.
Or one of them places.
Yeah.
Now, only because of where the origin of it came from, that, as everybody knows, all of these stories and urban legends usually come, if you look back far enough, they always come from either China, Japan, or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, they vary from all over the world, but and they usually kind of sometimes get various incarnations, various twists based on the culture of wherever the story ended up, being told at. But hey, thank you for calling in tonight. Really appreciate it. I got to jump to our next caller, and we have a lot of people on hold to hear some more ghost stories. I got a caller at 509 on hold. You hang on. You'll be up next. Caller at 604 right now. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey there. I'm Tammy from Abbotsford, British Columbia.
Hey, Tammy, welcome to the program tonight. Got a ghost story for us?
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm kind of one of those people that hasn't experienced my own ghost story, so I'm always the bridesmaid, never the bride when it comes to paranormal.
Okay.
So I can tell you some things that happened around me and...
Okay, that works.
...that I've never experienced. But maybe you can comment on whether I will ever experience anything. So my now husband lived in a townhouse that seemed to be haunted. They told me many stories before I started staying overnight there that they'd see things and... of course, I became quite terrified because then I'd be sleeping there at night and sometimes by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So they would see shadow figures. They would see like a man's feet on the stairs as they walked around. They would see just the feet, nothing else, just like in boots. And my husband drew a picture, almost like automatic drawing. He drew a picture one day, just sat down with a piece of paper and drew a picture of a very detailed, shaded, fully rendered man's face. And when he showed me the picture, I was completely creeped out because it looked like a real person.
Sure.
And he's not the worst artist, but he's not the most amazing artist. But I think this was something beyond what he could really do. So that was very strange.
Okay.
And they thought this was the man that was in the house. And they also had a medium type person come in, and they had said there was a girl that he was protecting in the house. So stuff would fall off shelves and all those things. So every time I went to bed, I just expected something very strange and special to happen. But nothing ever happened to me, except maybe if it was not my imagination, somebody maybe said my name, almost whispered, not quite, but nobody was around. So that was probably the closest thing that ever happened to me in that house that was fully haunted, according to everybody. So I don't know. What do you think about the picture?
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes, I'm gonna put that into a category of where we have questionable, I don't want to say possession, because I think when we say the word possession, a lot of times we think about like, ooh, exorcist type possession. But I think sometimes there's something on the other side where it's a communication that's going on. And we end up being the conduits for it, where the information is not conveyed verbally. It's not conveyed, audibly to us as humans. And it's not conveyed visually. But it's conveyed mentally. And sometimes it's almost the best analogy I can make would be like a download. And it's like, here you go. It's just there. Data is there now. And then we have knowledge of it and we're able to communicate it. Now, whether that be suddenly he has really good drawing skills for a minute, I think that could possibly happen. But I think it also falls into the line sometimes too, and as another possibility of when folks feel that they have like a past life experience. And I'm not discounting that as being a possibility, because I think anything's up in the air there. But I also think sometimes that is one of those things where maybe somebody's just trying to get their story across of their life. And it's not that we have had a different life or we lived in a different place or time, but someone else has given us that information. And the only way that we in our minds are processing it is as if this was us, and as if this happened to us. Just like, you know, you load something on a computer, the computer thinks it's the only Windows program that's ever existed because that's what it's programmed to run as. You know, but I think sometimes that's how we work too, where we just don't really quite process it and don't really quite understand what's going on. So I would say that maybe that is what was occurring there.
Maybe if I can find the picture, I'll upload it to the group. But I have it's probably in some file somewhere.
Sure.
Lost forever.
If you can find it.
It's somewhere in there. My sister is also very sensitive, which is weird because I'm not. Mm-hmm. And so she has a ghost in her house. And this ghost likes to be a little bit mischievous, I guess. So the last thing the ghost did was it barred the door from opening by opening a drawer on the inside of the bathroom. So he's literally, you could not open the door until they shimmied the door closed. And they tried to replicate this by going inside and opening the door and then getting out again. Because mm-hmm. the door was fully closed.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it. Nobody could do it. So the only way that drawer could have opened was if it was from the inside with the door closed. And there was nobody in there. So I thought that was cute. She had to text me on the way home from work to tell me about her ghost experience. So there, I was like, why am I the only one? And I'm that sad that I know, in some ways, because it's that kind of safer feeling knowing that I probably won't experience anything, but I'm almost jealous. Like all these people that I've heard from your show and everywhere that have had these experiences, and I never have. So
that you're jealous of the experience. Let me ask you, how long have you been listening to the show? Because that opinion may change.
I don't know. It's been a few months now. I've listened to all so that I could.
Are you an EPP? Have you heard the EPP episodes?
I've listened to quite a few of them now. I've been an EPP for about a month.
Okay, because there's go through the archive there. There's some pretty dark ones, and that may end up making you change your opinion of, I wish I had more paranormal things happening to me. Just keep digging and let me know when you've learned that lesson. All right. Have a great night.
Have a good night.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Bye-bye. 216-446-7810 is our phone number. There's a caller at 732 on hold. You'll be after the caller at 509, which I'm going to go to in just a moment. So both of you hang on the line. And there's still some open slots on our board. So if you want to call in, feel free to call in and then hang on the line until we get over to you. Had a question about the other podcast, The Grave Talks, which if you've not heard that yet, that's the other podcast that I do. And it's a totally separate podcast from Real Ghost Stories Online. Totally different kind of ecosystem, its own webpage, its own Facebook, its own everything. It's called The Grave Talks. If you've not liked that on Facebook yet, please do. If you're not subscribed yet on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, what have you, please do. That's a show. It comes out once a week, and it's an interview-based show. And what it is, you know, we used to do some interviews here on Real Ghost Stories Online, but I always thought it was so dramatically different than the rest of our shows. That type of show should have its own format, its own channel. So I created The Grave Talks, and once a week, so we're doing interviews much more frequently than we used to. Once a week, that comes out on Mondays, a new episode every single Monday right now. And I interview someone who's basically been paranormally affected. We try to focus on a location, whether it be a specific building or like the Queen Mary or something of that nature, which is coming up, by the way. I had that interview the other day. Finally, talked with the commodore of the ship who runs the ship and talked about some stuff that'll be out in a 2 weeks, I think, is a Queen Mary episode. But it's just filled with very, very interesting, compelling stories. We talk about the history of the locations that are haunted or the background of the individual, and then get into the actual haunting discussion of what's been going on, what's happening. It's a very interesting way of doing some ghost storytelling. And I hope you guys like it. I've seen so many positive comments there. So thank you guys who are watching and listen to it both. I see Corin was asking earlier, how do you decide? Who asked that? Somebody asked, how do we come up with the ideas or the order in which to release The Grave Talks? It's somewhat the order in which the interviews have been done. I'm always out there asking for interviews for that show from people who I'd be interested in talking to and who I think have a good story. Sometimes they come to me, sometimes I come to them. But if you guys ever have a suggestion for that show, for someone to interview, or know even better, if you know someone who would like to be interviewed, please do email that to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y at realghoststoriesonline.com. And we can make that connection and maybe get them on the show to talk about. There was a really interesting one, that's going to be coming up probably mid-June. It's a location in Seminole, Florida. It's called the Seminole Death House. And it's a gentleman who listened to this show and was aware of us. And he's a ghost investigator. This is kind of an off the beaten path. Nobody really knows about this story in this place. It's completely exclusive to that show. A lot of the locations we've talked about, you've probably heard about before, which is great. We try and get some new angles that you may not have understood or heard about before. But the Seminole Death House is a really interesting interview. And that's going to be up in a few weeks. So please do subscribe to Grave Talks. It's completely free as of right now. We eventually are going to come up with some sort of a system similar to EPP for that, where you get some sort of extra content or maybe the episodes in advance, because there's usually about two or three that have not yet played that I have in my back pocket that are just kind of in queue. So something like that, where for, you know, probably very similar to EPP, for like $5 a month, you get access to all the advanced episodes before they've been released, or extra content, you know, and advanced episodes, something of that nature. We'll figure it out probably through Patreon in the coming month or two. But there'll always be a free episode every week. We're going to create some extra bonuses there, because that show, although it is just once a week, it takes the longest to create. It is very intense as far as doing the research, getting the interviews, making the interview, producing the interview. It takes almost as long to create one episode of that show as it does to create a whole week of Real Ghost Stories Online. I do want to create something with that more so we can basically support it. So it makes sense to keep doing it. I love doing it, but at a certain point we got to go, how do we keep make this, the time that I'm investing into it to make it roll. So that'll be, soon, but that show, I hope you really enjoy. And thank you so much for all the kind words there on that. Enough about that show. Let's keep on with this show. We got a caller at 718 coming up, caller at 732 coming up right now, caller at 509. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Tony, this is Raymond from Moses Lake, Washington.
Raymond, welcome to the program. You got a ghost story for us?
Thank you. I do.
Great.
This is an experience I had in New Orleans recently.
Okay.
So we went there for the purpose of experiencing the culture of the city and, you know, the history and the voodoo culture. And we booked some ghost tours, you know, some paranormal tours. The very first day we arrived in the city, we took advantage of the voodoo tour. And our guide on this tour was an actual voodoo practitioner. So his knowledge of the voodoo religion was vast. He showed us Congo Square, which is where the slaves gathered on Sundays to practice voodoo under the guise of Catholic religion, because they had to hide it from their slave owners. We went to a voodoo museum, which is where this experience takes place. And the voodoo museum actually held a remnant from Marie Laveau's home after it burned down. Somebody was wise enough to grab a part of her altar where she would kneel down and make her offerings to the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And they made an altar in this voodoo museum. There's altars to all these different Loa. And we were in the back room of this museum, and as James is describing some of the objects in this room, I felt this poke in my left butt cheek. And so I stood real still and I thought, oh shoot, I backed into something, you know, and I turned my head to glance back, and I was like 2 feet from the nearest object. So I know I didn't back in anything. And so I just kind of played it off and went through the rest of the tour. After we left the museum, we went to James's voodoo temple, where they actually practice their religion and they sell artifacts and objects to make your own altars and things like that. And while we were in there, I purchased this necklace that had a pendant or of a bebe. A bebe is a symbol for the spirits, and this bebe was a bebe to Papa Legba, who is the gatekeeper to the spirit world.
Okay.
Allows you to talk to other spirits. And we ended the night, went and did other things. I got home, and I was kind of nervous about opening up this necklace, you know, and or wearing it. I wasn't sure I wanted to explore that any further. And so I left it in my little bag that I put it in. The next night, the following night, I got a little braver, and I took it out of the bag, took the necklace out of its little pouch, set it on the TV stand in the hotel we were staying in. We were staying in the Bourbon Orleans Hotel, which is a haunted hotel as it is.
Sure.
So that night, at 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear this noise. It sounded like somebody had taken the water bottle that was sitting up on the TV stand, and they had squished it. And you know, those plastic water bottles, the sound they make when they're half full, and you squish them, the crunchy sound. It woke me up, and I didn't move. I just opened my eyes, and I could see the clock on my nightstand and said 1 o'clock, you know, 1:05 or whatever. And my wife gets up. She doesn't know I'm awake. She goes to the bathroom, comes back, gets back into bed, and falls back asleep. I fall back asleep. And so I didn't tell her the story about the Voodoo Museum and me getting poked in the butt cheek, right? So the next day, we're eating breakfast, and she says, you know, did you wake up last night at any time? And I said, yeah, I woke up about, you know, 1 o'clock. And she said, so did I. She said, what woke you up? I said, I heard the crunching of a water bottle. She said, me too. So I got up, went to the bathroom. She said she went back to bed, got in the bed, and she said something poked her in each butt cheek. One time in each butt cheek.
This thing's got a thing for butts.
What happened. So then I told her about what happened to me at this museum, right? So I hadn't shared that with her. And so I don't know what it is, but yeah, I don't know if something followed us or if something was just being playful, letting us know that it really existed and just letting us know it was there. But it was real. I mean,
yeah.
I experienced lots of paranormal stuff. Every time we go any place, we stay, we pick the haunted hotels because we want to experience or see if we experience anything, and we always do.
Yeah.
Whether it's at the Benson in Portland or,
sure.
You know, someplace in the Gaslamp Quarter in San Diego or,
yeah.
Or L.A. Yeah.
Well, Ghosty likes back, it sounds like. That's my reference to Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
Ghost likes butts, and I cannot lie.
Sure does.
That's kind of weird. but, well, that sounds like, it sounds like you have quite, it's fun that you like to go and explore that stuff and kind of have those experiences. I mean, obviously you experienced something. I don't know what to make of it other than, you know, I'm probably somewhat of a perverted ghost is my guess. That's what you were dealing with.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. When we ended the tour, James made a comment, and he said, you know, if you guys have any questions, text me. He gave us a business card. He said, anything at all. So I texted him and told him what had happened. He said, you know, sometimes these spirits are playful. They just want to know that they're there. And so that's what I interpreted that, you know.
Yeah.
We're always wondering, did I really experience that? Was this real? And the fact that my wife could confirm it and experience the exact same thing I did without me acknowledging it in the first place is kind of the proof.
Yeah, it's a confirmation that it wasn't somebody losing it, you know, for lack of a better term. So, hey, thank you for the call tonight. I really do appreciate it. I got to let you go because I got to jump to some other callers who've been hanging on hold for quite a while. But please do call in again some other night. 216-446-7810 is our number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. If you are calling in, you get a busy signal, just keep trying back. If you get picked up, hang on. You are on hold and in queue. And our last one's been in queue for about 16 minutes. Caller at 732. Go to you in just a second. Caller at 718. You will be after that, and caller at 323. You'll be after that. So, without further ado, let's go to you, caller at 732. What is your name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Tony, my ghost brother. It is Cisco.
Hey, Cisco, how are you?
How are you doing, love?
I am doing
Listen,
well.
You want to talk? All right, strap on your creepy. Seatbelts here.
All right, okay? Here we go.
This is what happened to me. This is what happened tonight.
Okay.
I'm sitting here and I've got this little ghostly issue going down. And I'm thinking, what can I do about this? I got to find out more about it. You know, you want to know, but you don't want to know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to. So I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? And then all of a sudden you pop up live. So I'm guessing it's serendipity.
All right.
And I'm gonna just, here it comes.
Okay.
So I have been, you know, people tell me ghost stories, they're bringing me their ghost stories and they're uncanny and things like that as well, right?
Yep.
So you know how when you get your story and they start seeing without even trying, you'll get like 5 or 6 calls and they'll all be about a poltergeist. Or you'll get several and they'll all seem to be about sort of the same thing.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They all kind of line up just as eerie like that, uh-huh. Right?
All the time.
That happened to me. I've got 5. Now, I'll give you the first 2 and you can kind of figure out. The first one is the gentleman that's driving in his car. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning at the middle of the job. Sun's just coming up. He's pretty much alone on the street, you know, stops at a 4-way stop. Now, he always looks down this one. It's kind of a gated community, and you can kind of see all the way down the street from his description. And he always kind of looks down there because he's kind of a motorhead, and they always have some really cool cars, you know. And it's just something he does. He looks down and he looks back, you know, where he's going, the traffic, whatever, can he go? And he taps to look back again. He sees a tall, very dark, and the way he described it was that kind of black that's just so black that mm-hmm. it seems to be sucking the light out of everything around it.
Mm-hmm.
A figure by the size of the gate, I guess for height, he said it was 7 or 8 foot tall. He could see the legs, and the legs seemed to be longer than they needed to be as far as the torso side. It was black to the point of not being a mist, but he could actually see that it was wearing like a black type of a cloak or something like that, but he could see the arms, so it must have been a tight fitting. I have no idea. Didn't see it. Now, he looked at it again, and as he pulled away, he looked in his rearview mirror to see it. Didn't see it anymore. Stopped, because like I said, he was very few cars. Stopped just to put his head out and look. And when he looked out, he could see it with his eyes, but not in the mirror, which really chilled him to the bone.
Yeah.
And then it turned and looked at me. And he sped out. When he turned, it turned, like almost like when it knew that he was looking at it, it turned and looked at him.
Mm-hmm.
No face. Okay. And then there was a very distinctive something else that it had. And I don't want to say that yet. Now, the next one, different state, all within 2 weeks. Same type of thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving. He sees a figure on the roof and he thought, okay, somebody's goofing, something like that. He stopped in traffic. He looks again. He thought, okay, you know, the things that you process, you know, is it something, you know, somebody stuck up there being, you know, whatever. Tall figure, same description. He said it was as tall standing on the roof as it was from the ground to the roof in a split level. You know, I guess that part was a 2-story. So that's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
Same description. The next morning, didn't see it. The next morning, he sees it again. But now it's not on the roof. It's sitting on a light pole. And when he thought about it, he saw it, and he clicked into it as he went by. It crouched down and followed him with his head. What is that? I've got 2 more that match it almost identically.
Okay.
One is in one of the same states, and one is in the Midwest.
Okay.
Have you heard anything like this? So basically, it's got no face.
Yeah.
It seems like the second you tap into it's whatever you want to say, telepathic, whatever. It knows that you know.
Yeah.
It looks at you. Have you heard of any of this?
I have not. I mean, we've certainly had stories over the years of, you know, things where you can't identify the face, but not, you know, the thing is, it's interesting, you know, because our backlog of written in stories is almost a year behind. So that's kind of where we're at there. The calls are not so bad. I mean, the calls are about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks in queue. And I just went through them yesterday to catch everything up for future episodes. And I've not heard anything like this in any recent calls or anything to the show.
Okay. Well, just like, you know, one of our favorite shows, like, the, you know, the Forensic Files and Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
I'm holding back one thing. I will email you what that thing is, just so we can derive from, okay, this is really something. Because I'm getting them. And like I said, I'm up to about 5 now.
Yeah.
And I never disclose that one thing.
Is it?
They all have it.
No, don't tell me what it is. But are we talking like, is it like a feature of the thing that you're holding back?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, just so I understand what to be looking for when I.
I will email you. I will email you.
Okay.
And then if you get anything that says about a 7 to 8 foot figure just popping up out of nowhere,
okay.
I mean, I've got them in trees, I've got them on light poles,
yeah.
I've got them just standing in the street.
Yeah.
Two of them did have mirrors involved, I guess, because you see them in cars, so you look back and it's not there, and then you look again and it's there. So that tells me. You know, we're talking something, you know, not
yeah.
just the appearance, but we're talking that it's something, what, extra-dimensional?
I don't know. Ghost? Yeah, I mean, very, very bizarre. I mean, when you get the mirrors involved, that makes everyone even more uncomfortable. but yeah, that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that, but I'm going to...
Let me know.
I will.
Email me or whatever. We'll put them together and
yeah.
see what's up, because if other people are seeing this too.
Yeah.
You know.
If there's some sort of phenomenon or some reason why it's picked up in pace on something very specific. Yeah, that's really weird. Email me and we'll keep in contact about that. And maybe in a couple of weeks we can do an update here on this broadcast and see if we've connected any dots or if you've gotten more.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so creepy. And it's, I don't know whether the mirror messes with me. I don't mind the disappearing so much. It's the, when it knows you know and it looks at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's when you shiver up your spine.
Now, another.
I just figured I'd, you know, my ghost brother. Who else am I going to reach
yeah.
to? Right, Tony?
another set of mirrors that, like, no one would ever want to replace. Now, rear-view mirrors in cars. It's like, well, it broke. You want to get this replacement one from the junk lot? No. I don't want to replace the mirror ever.
No, thank you, man. No, thank you. I don't even look in my rearview mirror anymore, because I know one day something's going to be sitting in my back seat. That is it.
I wonder how an officer would respond to that when they're like, ma'am, you have no mirrors on your car? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to see ghosts in it.
You know? Listen, 15, 20 minutes to have the officer look at me and go, okay, man, you can go. You, I believe.
Exactly.
Tony, I have a beer and I'll tell you some stories, man.
I bet you would. I bet you could. All right, Cisco, thanks for calling in tonight. All right. Have a good night.
Have a good night.
You too. 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us tonight. Caller at 323, you're going to be after the caller at 718. Let's hear your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Alan. I'm calling from New York City.
All right, Alan, you got a ghost story for us?
Yeah.
All right.
When my wife was sick and my daughter was young, I put them to bed about 11:35 is when I finally was able to get into bed.
Mm-hmm.
We have like 3 phones attached to the same line. One is a princess phone that my wife always used, which was sitting right next to where she slept.
Sure.
After she died, for quite some time, at exactly 11:35, when I went to bed, her princess phone would start to ring and never completely ring. And if I picked it up, it was always just go right to dial tone.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the satellite phones attached to the same line would ever ring. And this went on for quite some time. And people were not really believing me, but Eventually, my daughter heard it, and one other person heard was here and heard that phone start to ring, and there's never a completion of it. And a couple of times, if I was upset at night, mm-hmm. the phone would start to ring, and I'd pick it up, and I started to think, oh, she's getting in touch with me again, so that would make me feel better. And eventually, after I accepted her death, more, the entire process stopped. So what do you think?
I think it's exactly what you assumed was going on there. I think she was there trying to help you through it, letting you know that she was on the other side, and she was in tune with how you were feeling, but, you know, also letting you know that she wasn't, you know, essentially, you know, gone forever, that there's another side, that she's on the other side and she's there waiting for you. And, you know, you need to get through it for this life and for what you have to do here still. But she wanted you to know that she's over there. And I think that's probably where, you know, what was going on. And I think you very diligently connected those dots.
And the other thing with it was the night she died, I stayed over my mother-in-law's house, her mother's house. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw two shadows, which one of which on either side of the bed I was sleeping in, and one I sort of identified as her, and the other one was her father, my father-in-law, who had died previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to go back to sleep.
I think sometimes, and especially, you know, we're talking earlier about relationships and things being passed down from generation to generation. I think just as people can be sensitive to the paranormal, I think inherently you can inherit also, I think, abilities to communicate once you've passed as well, where if it's common that someone's grandmother or mother that's passed away is able to communicate, I would think the odds are probably also up there that when that child of those individuals passes, they are very likely also going to have that ability to communicate on the other side. So I think you have some of that going on, you know, with the family lineage as well. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us tonight. I really, really do appreciate that. 216-446-7810 is our number. In fact, I think this will be our last call for the night as we're coming up on the top of the hour. And I want to get to you because I know you've been on hold here for a while. Let's go to caller at 323. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, how you doing? My name is Jairo Cintuno. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
All right. Let's hear your ghost story.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm calling because I have a couple of ghost stories, but the first one is very brief. I used to work at a mall, and I used to do inventory at night, overnight.
Okay.
And I used to do, like, warehouse shoes, and I used to go do inventory at 2 or 3 in the morning. And there was this one occasion I went overnight. I was half asleep, and I was there. I went in. The security guard was inside the mall. I went in. But the trippy part was it was when I was walking in, I was by myself. And all the stores everywhere around me in the mall, I saw, like, I got a glimpse of people walking around. And I mean, half asleep, I kind of heard the little vibe, like if people were moving. Mm-hmm. And you could hear, like, you know, I felt like people were moving. I looked around, and I saw a glimpse of people just moving around. And I'll make sure I, like scratch my eyes. And I was like, oh, what am I seeing? And I see nothing. Will be like, nobody was there. So I rushed into my, like, store. I got in. I called my assistant. Like, hey, where you at? Come in. Hurry up. Like, there's some crazy stuff going on here. So, and I also called a security guard because I did not want to be alone. And I broke it down for me. Like, hey, this is what I saw. Like, right now, even when I was waiting for you guys to come over here, I saw a glimpse through the mirror of the mall, through the store. I could see, like, people, like, a glimpse of people walking around in front of me. Like, if it was active, it was like, regular opening hours. Then I called them. I was like, hey, this is, like, it's Black Friday already, or what's going on? Why is people in the mall at this time? And the security guy came up to me and started laughing. It's like, oh, this happens a lot. It's like sometimes you see people, you see, you know, hear people walking around, or you see a group of people, you feel energy, or you feel people there. And I was like, yeah, I felt that. I felt all that. And I was like, you know what? It's relaxed. Nothing bad. It's like so much energy.
Sure.
It was just, a lot of people bring different kind of energies and so much energy. There's no window to go out. So it just stays in. It just compacts in the mall. So there's no way letting it out. So all their energy comes, replace itself, reoccurs at a certain time.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I that's why I think one of the most chilling and interesting places that I am drawn to just as an adult, and I'm always like, I don't know why, but one of the creepiest things to me, even I think creepier and more eerie and nerving is an abandoned mall, is a mall that's just sitting there rotting away, nothing in it, just because you know all the energy that used to be flowing through those halls and the positivity and excitement, and now it's just sitting there rotting. There's something very unnerving and weird about abandoned malls today. But let's hear your next story.
Yeah, when the security guard told me about it, and I was like, oh, okay. I was reading, because I believe in ghosts. I believe in brujería, which is witchcraft and stuff. Like, I was like, oh, that's just a lot of ghosts. He's like, no, it's like not really about ghosts. It's about the energy. So much energy here. So many people come in and go that sometimes there's nowhere to go. It's
yeah.
Safe and compact and same location.
Sure.
And my second story was that I live in South LA, South Central LA. We see a lot of violence. And like in my house, before we moved in, like a couple people died in my house.
Yeah.
And like when I lived here, there was a guy, a youngster who looked like exactly like my brother. He got killed like in the gate of my house. They killed him. And it's like one time I was coming from work, like around 10, 11 from closing out the mall and every driving home. And I came home. It was just like a week after he died. I came in and I saw a guy literally. A guy that looked exactly like my brother just sitting in the porch. And I had to drive in, the driver just sitting there. It was like at 12 at midnight. I was like, okay, my brother's doing here. Well, you know, he should be asleep. So when I got home, when I got out, I parked the car and went back to my house to the front, my brother, that person was gone. And I asked my brother, hey, where you at? Like, oh, I'm over here on my cousin's house. I'm not even close to there. So I was like, oh my God, I just saw their person, the energy there.
No, I mean,
and after that, yeah. I started like my house, like I used to sleep by myself.
Yeah.
There was people. I felt like I couldn't move at points. Like I felt like somebody was there. I felt like I was like I could hope like I would sleep, but I couldn't move my body.
Sure.
Like so, like in my house, so yeah. Much energy. I felt like somebody used to be like. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
It sounds like kind of like a sleep paralysis incident almost there. But when you have and you're surrounded by such, you know, such a high emotion and such, you know, you got to be on edge, you know, so often. And many people, everyone, you know, if you're in an environment where, you know, violence occurs, you know, senselessly so often, you know, you got to be, you know, there's a certain level of human anxiety that's up there that in itself can cause things. But then the energy of the folks who have, you know, passed, you know, with such senseless violence that plays into it as well, that it's just such a hotbed for, you know, paranormal things to happen. And for sensitive folks like yourself to feel, you know, very deeply and at all different times and levels.
Yeah, because my cousin came, like, he believes in stuff, and he does brujería, like, he does stuff like that, like, in Spanish, and he came in my house, and it's like, first thing he did was get a cigarette and start smoking inside the house, and I was like, what are you doing there? He's going to leave my house, and I didn't know, because we have a lot of bad energy here.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we need to, like, you know, relieve that energy, because we have a lot of energy that's stored, and, like, so after that, he put lights, like, a lamp. Like, you know, I forgot what candles, so the candle, it'd be like a light for them to like they see the light, and he would do like prayers, and little by little things started slowing down after he started getting involved in the house, cleansing the house.
Yeah.
Being positive, because at the point he was like, oh, there's a lot of negativity here, so you got to be careful with that too.
There is, yeah, when you have negativity, that breeds paranormal.
Yeah, and then he told me, you're always mad because it's a lot of negativity that influences your personality. I was like, oh, I didn't know that.
You got to try and be, you know,
yeah,
it's a hard thing to fight. You know, it really is. But that's one of the best ways to try and keep that stuff away is to try and be as positive as you can, even through really, really rough situations. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story with us tonight. Really do appreciate you reaching out and listening to the program. A couple quick questions I want to answer here before we wrap up the program. Someone was asking about the Carol and Kathy show a couple weeks back. Yeah, that was some folks Carol I worked with, her sister Kathy, they were on. Really good show. I think it was called Family Ghosts, I think is what the episode was. It's a few weeks back. I think it's Family Something. But we'll be hearing more from Carol here real soon, too. Let's see. There was another question here I wanted to try and... oh, Erica. Tony, do you get a lot that you don't look like your voice? Honestly, no, I don't. I don't know if that's good or bad, quite honestly, Erica. One other thing I want to let you guys know. Tomorrow, we're going to be recording our next EPP episode for this week. And our oldest is going to come on and share a ghost story. And she has one interesting ghost story that's been happening, actually, this last year at her school. Yeah. And at first, I mean, we've kind of did a little research, too, of like, is this a ghost story or is this a miscommunication on something? But it is weird. And she's going to come in and share that story. And that EPP episode will be released, in the next, tomorrow, late afternoon, early evening, something like that. So, please do tune in for that. If you're not an EPP yet, do sign up for that because you're going to like it. It is a good episode. Or it will be a good episode. I know the story is good. She hasn't recorded it yet, but it's going to be an interesting one to hear. So please do, if you're an EPP, check that out. If you're not yet, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. It's a good one. Really, really, really is. I'm excited to have her share that on the program tomorrow. And like I said, we'll be released tomorrow afternoon, early evening time if you're an EPP. That's going to wrap up the show for tonight. If you like the program, please become an EPP. Like I've been talking about, sign up at ghostpodcast.com. It's $5 a month. Or you can sign up for a full year membership, and you get 1 month free and a bunk bed bell if you would like. Some other extras coming soon to that as well. Or sign up through Patreon. That's another way to do it if you like Patreon. The options are there. It all starts at ghostpodcast.com. Thank you guys for listening tonight. Thank you guys for tuning in. Greatly appreciate it. For Jenny, I'm Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Good night, everybody.